I am the voice of God. And anyone who doesn't like it will be hewn down.
On September 11th, 1857, in an unspoiled valley of the Utah Territory, and in the name of God, 120 men, women, and children were savagely murdered. Who ordered the massacre and why has been hidden in a cloak of secrecy and conspiracy, and the reputation of one of this nation's mightiest religious figures has been preserved and protected until now.
Mormons, do your duty!
Jehovah created me to be your God on earth.
These people are different. I find them interesting.
We have a duty to perform. It's a duty we owe to God.
Tell me what's happening.
Too late for everybody. It started too late.
Do you think he's God on earth?
They're not innocent.
We take a solemn oath to never discuss this, even among ourselves.
That's a little bit of the trailer from a recent movie, September Dawn, dealing with the issue of the Mountain Meadows Massacre 150 years ago, thereabouts, on September 11th, yesterday. The Mormons have been implicated in this massacre, and there's a new book on the Mountain Meadows Massacre, and we're going to be talking about it with Bill McKeever for a few minutes here on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. A little bit later, yoga will be our subject. Elliot Miller will be our guest. Bill McKeever is a regular guest here on the program, co-founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and he's co-author of the book Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing very well. One of the authors of Massacre at Mountain Meadows, Richard Turley, who's also an historian for the LDS Church, says that the Mountain Meadows Massacre was the worst event in Latter-day Saint history. Is he right?
I would think he's probably correct on that. It is certainly a dark part of the LDS history, and it's very difficult for the Mormon Church to escape any implication in it. The question, of course, is how far does the responsibility go up the chain of authority? And the big controversy is whether or not Brigham Young actually had a hand in ordering the massacre, and that certainly can't be proven by any documents that exist today.
What is this most latest book here on the Mountain Meadows Massacre? Where does it come from? What does it have to say?
Well, I think this book was written kind of in response to other books that have been written on the subject, probably primarily Will Bagley's book, Blood of the Prophets. Now, Will is a Mormon of record, though I don't think he would tell you that he's a good practicing Mormon. But Will Bagley wrote a book on this a few years ago. I think it was in 2002. And he actually thinks that Brigham Young did order the massacre to take place. The new one, brought out by the three Mormon historians, will definitely say that Brigham Young did some things and said some things that kind of got the ball rolling, but they stopped short of putting the actual blame on the Mormon prophet himself. And so what they try to do in their book is they try to make it look like it's purely a southern Utah problem, that it primarily came through the orders of a man by the name of Isaac Haight, who was a stake president in the Cedar City area, and also under a stake president by the name of William Dame, who was from Parowan, which is about 20 miles north of Cedar City. Those are the two guys that had the most authority in southern Utah. And they try to say that it all had to do with them. The question that I have asked Latter-day Saints, and we actually put this forth last year on our blog, A Mormon Coffee, and we asked the question, well, how many Latter-day Saints who post on our blog site would think that it would be feasible for good practicing Mormons to all of a sudden go out and mercilessly slaughter 120 men, women, and children on the authority of a mere stake president? Not one Mormon said that they would ever even consider such a thing. And see, that's my question, the thing that always bothers me. The men who were involved with this, had to know that they were going to be protected somehow. And there's no way that a person on the stake president level, which is a pretty low level in Mormon authority, would have the ability to protect these men. So they either must have thought or been told that somehow the church was going to protect them from this. Well, otherwise, we have some men acting certainly very, very irrationally in partaking of this. Now, when you read the book, the whole blame for the massacre primarily stems from some alleged altercations that the Arkansas immigrants, under the leadership of John Baker, Jack Baker, and Alexander Fancher, apparently when they got to Cedar City, there was an altercation between some of the people in the wagon train and some of the locals, and some threats were made against the people in Cedar City. And the book gives the impression, really, if you look at pages 132 to 135, that that's really what spurred on the massacre of these people. When I read it, I have a real hard time believing that. There had to be much, much more to it than just this set of altercations and vain threats. And even the authors admit that if there were any threats that were made, they were probably made out of frustration, because the wagon trains going through Utah were not able to purchase supplies before crossing the desert into California, because the Mormons were expecting a siege from the United States government. And I can understand that, but you can understand also the frustration on the part of the immigrants. They're trying to stock up, and they're not being allowed to by the locals, so there's a lot of friction going on. It's a very complicated story, one that I felt that the movie September Dawn couldn't tell in a two-hour period, and so a lot of people watching that film probably wouldn't get a real accurate understanding of what was going on both sides, either the immigrants or the Mormons. So it's a fascinating story, to be sure, but one thing the book tries very hard to do is place the entire blame on the locals in southern Utah.
Okay, you said at the outset that if Brigham Young had some involvement in the Mountain Meadows Massacre, there's no documentary evidence of it that anyone knows of.
Right.
Is it possible that there is documentary evidence that the Mormons know of?
Well, see, that's another big controversy. This book was done by three Mormon historians. It was not a cooperative effort by members and non-members, and these men apparently had access to documents that other historians do not have access to. And when I heard these three gentlemen speak at the Mormon History Association conference last year, Gene Sessions, who is a Mormon historian here in Utah, actually made the comment that because it was done in-house, there will always be suspicions as to what they had access to, and could they have possibly ignored some things that could have implicated Brigham Young. See, that's the big question mark here. Will Bagley made a comment one time. I was listening to him speak at a local bookstore in Salt Lake City, and Turley at the Mormon History Association conference did admit, and it was my question that was posed to him through a gentleman I was sitting next to, but the question was asked about the documentation. Had any documentation been destroyed or doctored up? And Turley admitted that there had been documentation destroyed. Well, Will Bagley, I think he says this rightfully so, he says you don't destroy evidence to protect your innocence. And this is what we see throughout this whole scenario here. When you're reading the book, I notice that the authors oftentimes will use words like perhaps or could have, may have. And so there's a lot of questions that they seem to have themselves on this, because maybe there isn't enough information, or what could tell the story no longer exists. They do admit that there are no records in existence from the immigrants themselves, which makes you wonder, well, why would the Indians care about any journals that they had? The only people who would have really cared about anything written down probably would have been the perpetrators of the crime, which would have been the 50 or so Mormon men that were involved in the massacre.
With only about 15 seconds here, Bagley, who's written that famous book about this, believes that the very validity of the Mormon faith is at stake when explaining the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Do you agree, Bill? 30 seconds.
I think that he draws that conclusion because Mormons don't tend to do anything without authority, and it's very hard for a lot of us who understand how Mormonism works to believe that you would have 50 devout men do something without any type of authority coming from, at least from on top. But the proof, of course, isn't there, so I guess we'll never know. We can just speculate.
What if it were discovered that Brigham Young actually had a hand in or, in fact, ordered this massacre? What would that mean? About 30 seconds.
Well, that would be pretty devastating because murder, according to Mormon doctrine, is an unforgivable sin. So if Brigham Young did have a hand in ordering the massacre of these people, then certainly you have a Mormon prophet that would be going to outer darkness, according to LDS teaching.
Bill McKeever is co-founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, based in Draper, Utah. We've got a link to Mormonism Research Ministry on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Bill is also co-author of the book, Mormonism 101. Thanks for being our guest, Bill.
Hey, it was my pleasure, Todd. You have a good day.
When we come back from this break, Elliot Miller is going to join us. Yoga's big, isn't it? It's in preschools, schools, Cub Scouts, at the Y, in church. Is all yoga the same? Is it a dangerous, easternly influenced practice that cannot be extricated from its Eastern religion roots? Or are there forms of yoga that are innocuous or harmless if taken properly with discernment? We'll answer that question at the outset with Elliot Miller right after this.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Christian leaders responding to 9/11. Answers with Ken Ham, one of North America's most in-demand Bible conference speakers.
You know, I've noticed that many Christian leaders don't have good answers as to why terrible events like 9/11 a few years ago occurred. I remember that after the 9/11 attack, I visited various websites and found many Christian leaders making statements something like, "We don't have any answers as to why this happened. We just have to trust God," and other similar statements. We put up an article on our website within hours of 9/11. It gave answers, explaining that because of sin, evil people do evil things, and that people die every day. You know, really, the ultimate answer as to why tragedies occur is simple. If you believe the literal history in the book of Genesis, it's simple. But here's the sad thing. The majority of Christian leaders accept the supposed millions of years for the age of the earth. If Christians believe in long ages, they have to also accept millions of years of death, suffering, and disease before Adam. And God called all of this good? No, think about it. That would mean God is responsible for death and suffering. Sin is the cause.
Ken Ham explores this topic in much more depth in a booklet available through our website, answersoffer.org. For your gift of any size, we'll send you 10 of Ken's booklet on death and suffering. Well, we conclude that offer today, so go to answersoffer.org or call toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS.